speak this morning what I believe the Holy Spirit has moved upon me, entitled Making Room for Them. Making Room for Them. Please turn to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is beginning his ministry. In verse 18, we read, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, I'm making room for you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were not fishers of men yet. We don't even know if they were saved. We don't even know a lot of things. In fact, Jesus later did say to Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." But oh, how he made room for people and didn't put a lot of rules and regulations on following him. At the Billy Graham Crusades for years and years, they would often have an altar call with the music in the background, "Just as I am," without one plea. And oh, we would say, "Come, we make room for you." I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15, a famous story of the prodigal son. Three stories are mentioned: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. But when the boy who took his inheritance and lived a very sinful life, when he decided to come home, we read that the father saw him afar off. He was always looking for him to come home. He was always making room for him. We don't have one shred of evidence the father knew the condition of the heart of the boy when he came home. He didn't know he had repented. He didn't know he had said, "Oh, I have really messed up." But the heart of the father, seeing him afar off, ran to meet him. It's a good thing the elder brother didn't meet him. In fact, I sometimes wonder if the elder brother who is away looks across that pig pen and sees the elder brother at home and knows the rejection that is there. But the father, wanting to make room for him, loved him, going to take him no matter what, ran out to meet him. And I'm sure he was quite thrilled to hear his son say, "Daddy, I really blew it." And he loved him and fell on him. The Holy Spirit really spoke to me, entitled, Making Room for Them. Now you might be saying, making room for who? I'm going to answer that later in this message. I first want to make two statements that I believe are biblically accurate in order for this message to make sense. These two statements are very necessary in order for this message to make sense. If you reject these, the message will crumble. It will not have a foundation. But the first one is, we sometimes criticize that which we do not understand. I want to say that again. We sometimes criticize that which we do not understand. Number two, we sometimes are not willing to admit some things we don't understand. I didn't expect a big shout. I want to repeat it. We sometimes criticize that which we do not understand. Number two, we sometimes are not willing to admit some things we don't understand. I'm going to do it a third time. Why a third time? Because the Bible, when it mentions something three times, it means it's really important. I believe this is really important. We sometimes criticize that which we do not understand. We sometimes are not willing to admit some things we don't understand. Let me begin this message that it can begin to make sense and put some rubber on the road. About 30 years ago, a prominent pastor in Portland, Oregon, began to make a slogan well known. And it became a slogan of the church. There was a banner on the church, and they often repeated it. And this is what it said: come as you are, you'll be loved. And criticisms began to surface, generally from smaller churches. And they speculated and said such things as, yeah, he's watering down the gospel. He's afraid to preach it as it is. He's not preaching against sin, and he's just accepting people the way they are. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I'm embarrassed to tell you, for the first few weeks, I was one of the idiots that criticized. I've repented. The man who came up with that expression was Ron Mail in Portland, Oregon, who pastored 5,000. Sometimes it's easy to criticize the bigger one from the little one, thinking, oh, they're not doing something right. That may be true in some cases, but wasn't true in this case. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I got to know Ron Mail. He spoke at our youth camp. And my, how the power and the anointing of God was on him. It wasn't that he was not willing to try to change people or accept their sinful life. It's just that his message of come as you are, you'll be loved, was greater than him wanting to change you. I'm ashamed of my attitude I had at first. We sometimes criticize that which we don't understand, and thank God I was willing to admit I didn't understand. I still remember his messages at the teen camp. He had me often from his messages weeping. On the radio, he was incredible. He was very gifted. I go back to his statement, come as you are, you'll be loved. Sometimes I have said for years, and I hope it's not repeated to the place of irritation, but I arrive at my doctrinal views and my convictions from the stories in the Bible. Because the stories in the Bible is where we get many of our scriptures, verses. Now, to begin to answer the question, who should we make room for? The first one I want to address is the church, and I would say this to any church, including this one, and I mean no disrespect. Make room for those who don't get healed. And when I say make room for those that don't get healed, make room that they can be just as mature, just as spiritual, and just as dedicated as those that do get healed. The healing movement, or the word of faith movement, it gave so many formulas, but it made no room for those that were not healed. It left them feeling like they lacked faith. There was something wrong, either with them or someone else. And it didn't make room for them. It's either you don't have faith, or the person praying for you didn't have faith, or there's something wrong. And the person who doesn't get filled is often left with a feeling of, rejection. I'm not saying, by saying this, we don't keep claiming healing. We don't keep promoting healing. But we must not, in the promoting and the believing of the healing, make them feel what I've mentioned. To make this truth a little more real, I would remind those people that teach otherwise that they're in heresy. Just because someone has something physically wrong doesn't mean they're lacking in maturity or spirituality or dedication. Even James says, make room for the poor. If you have two coming in, one's rich, one's poor. He did not address, let's deal with the poor and get them rich. Let's make room for them. And I would remind us to make my point that even great men of God who were used in the healing movement greatly had loved ones that were not healed. Or they themselves, while being used of God to bring healing to others, had something physically wrong with themselves. There's a church in Southern California. By the way, I'm smiling, everybody, so you can smile. There's a church in Southern California many years ago. I remember this well. When a man got up to preach on divine healing, and he said to the congregation, is there anybody here that claims to be perfectly healthy? 400 people. It was quiet. They didn't know if he was trying to set them up or what. He just waited. Finally, a gentleman stood. I'm sure he was sincere. He looked great. He looked the part. And he said, yes, I'm perfectly healthy. He said, no, you're not, sir. You're bald. Boy, trying to make a point. Brother Skip Kincaid, who I believe has been used for many people to get healed. We know that. And yet he will even tell you, I don't understand why my wife is not healed and is sick many times. There was a man in this pulpit who, in my opinion, was used to bring healing to more than anybody. Whether you agree with him or not, you cannot deny the miracles. I loved him. His name was Leroy Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins had a son, and all you have to do is watch the programs. All you have to do is see the many hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of deaf people. I've watched children's ears that were deaf opened up immediately. I've watched them with their blind eyes opened immediately. There's no end to the miracles. You cannot deny the miracle. Jesus said, if you're not going to believe me, at least believe me for the miracles. I believe the miracles. I was sitting next to a boy, because in my own ministry, and I will be honest with you, I've been used in words of knowledge hundreds of times, detailed, but I haven't quite seen the healings. Frieda says, I think you'd have more than you know, and so I receive that, but I'm being honest with you. And so I've often been very interested when I see these healings. Becky was healed here, and there were others. I was sitting next to a boy where this boy was new to the type of service we were having. His arm was wrapped up, and when Brother Leroy went to pray for him, I heard it pop. I thought, wow. How many know healing is real? But I say that Brother Leroy Jenkins had a son that I know with diabetes. He's never been healed. Brother Leroy Jenkins, before he died, was sick for about 6 months. We don't try to say we understand. Smith Wigglesworth, an amazing apostle, a man used of God around the beginning of the century, had thousands of recorded healings and miracles, and yet he himself suffered with gallstones. He was often known before he would go into a meeting laying on the floor, writhing in pain from gallstones. Oh God, I can't go! He didn't get healed, they just passed. But all his life, he suffered from gallstones. How many are hearing what I'm saying? We must make room for those that don't get healed and not put them in a second class or something is wrong. Yes, it's wrong, they're sick. And yes, but let's not cause them to feel. Let's make room for them. Can I hear an amen? And love them. But I want to say this for every point I make. If you think that you can outwardly accept them, because you know you're supposed to, but inwardly you don't, they'll know it. I know it. They know it. A dog will know it. Can I hear an amen? The second group we must make room for is divorced people. Boy, I got a lot of guts today. Making room for divorced people. You know how many churches have teachings and have the way they operate? They don't make room for the divorced person. You can't hold an office. You can't be a deacon. You can't be this and you can't be that. We'll take your tithe. We'll take your money. But they don't make room for them. Well, they'll love them in a way, and I've seen it. This church hasn't made a big issue of that. But I can guarantee you there's a lot of places that really bear down on that. I say we got to make room for them and love them. If God can forgive sin, then let's not try to judge and know what happened. And even if they were wrong, can't God forgive? It's like a preacher that preached against divorce. He really could have the conviction until his kid went and had a divorce. It's amazing how his convictions changed and he began to make room for them. Am I being real today? Making room for the divorced people. Number three, we must make room for behavior that we are too quick to judge as a bad attitude, but it's really a chemical imbalance and something physically wrong with them internally. ADHD, these symptoms do not often stop at youth. They can grow up into the teens, into the adult. Well, I believe in healing. I do too. But sometimes it doesn't happen. And we've got to love them and make room for them. My wife, who is in the medical field and has learned some things, and I was discussing this with him and began to give me some understanding. And she said, even myself, I've learned, she said, people with autism can affect their behavior. And it's not that that kid is wanting to be rebellious. It's not that they're wanting to, and they're not disciplined. But there will be behavior that comes out from often something is wrong because of the fall. How many know when the fall happened in the garden, it went many directions? And sometimes it affects their behavior that acts differently, and we can be quick to judge. Fibroid issues can affect. There can be brain issues. How many have ever heard of hormonal imbalances? It can create moods. It can create attitudes that, if we're not careful, we're quick to judge as not being Christian. It's not true. How many have ever heard of the Rett syndrome? Some of these things I don't know. Terry knows about them, and some of you ladies know about them. My wife has seen children come in with behavior that we would think, boy, that deserves discipline. Not always. God give us understanding. How many know somebody like that? How many love them? And you want them accepted. You don't want them to be treated as though they are, you know what I mean. I repeat, we believe in healing. That's not what's on trial here. What's on trial is making room for them, loving them, not just outwardly, but inwardly. Because I guarantee you, if you outwardly love them, but inwardly, because of wrong teaching and wrong understanding, you'll be hugging them and they'll or high, and they'll know it. They know it. It has a way of coming out of your pores and other things, and they're very sensitive to rejection. I'm so glad I had a mother that made room for me. If anybody had more energy than they needed, it was me. I wasn't trying to be rebellious. I was just wired that way. You can blame the fall, or you can say that's God's blessings. I use that energy for the ministry, but my goodness, I had energy, and it drove the teachers nuts. Dennis is always just couldn't sit still. Teachers had put me in the back of the class because I was disturbing everybody, tapping or this or this or that, and I wasn't trying to be. Mother had understanding. Coming home from the doctor's office, and I've shared with you, it really wound me up, and she knew that I just had so much energy, she'd pull the car over and she'd let me get out and run around the car 10 times. I got all that energy out. And then I'd come back in and sit in the car. She'd say, "You okay, son?" I said, "I'm better, Mama." My mother had understanding. She made room for me. But I can guarantee you there were others that thought, "Oh, somebody will do something with him." And not all of that stops at your youth. It can grow on up. I wet the bed. I was a bedwetter. What was that embarrassing? Now, some would be quick to judge. Say, "He's just lazy, doesn't want to get him to go to the bathroom." I've heard that. It was so embarrassing to spend the night with a kid. I was always afraid to go over and spend the night with somebody because I thought, "Oh, I don't want to wet the bed." And I remember one night in the middle of the night, my friend started bumping and said, "What are you doing? You're wetting my bed." Boy, you talk about embarrassment. I remember one time my mother went in. I'm 12 years old. I'm still wetting the bed. If anybody wanted to change, I wanted to change. And I remember my mother didn't know I was watching. And she went in to change the sheets. And I remember her going, oh. And I'm watching. And I'm looking for rejection. Because we're sensitive about being loved and rejected. And I remember my mother turning around and looking at me. And had tears in her eyes. And I knew she wasn't rejecting me. She was loving me and feeling me, my pain. And I remember we both knelt down and prayed and said, God, don't ever let me wet the bed again. And I never did. Have I, honey? Woo! Accepting people. I love the stories in the Bible. Here's Solomon. Solomon, he's prayed and asked God for wisdom. I want you to see something. He's asked God for wisdom. And now he's going to be tested. The very next day after the dream, he gets the wisdom. God gives it to him. And then the story of two harlots came before Solomon. And they're trying to figure out who the mother is, who the real mother is. And we see Solomon's wisdom. But I want you to notice something. He knew they were harlots. What does the law say about harlots? Leviticus 19:29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. I was clear about it. Deuteronomy 23:17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. No harlots. What are you going to do, Solomon? You know they're harlots. It's almost a precursor of Jesus having a woman brought to him caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus' acceptance was greater than his demanding of change. If we're not careful, we demand the change before we're going to give the acceptance. That is wrong. And Solomon totally doesn't say a thing about them being harlots. Why? He has wisdom. Do you know a survey was done and they found out that even today, 62% of women that traffic sex were physically abused as a child. They don't choose to be that way. He said, well, you chose. You're lacking understanding. And Jesus, not that he's condoning it, but his acceptance, come as you are, you'll be loved, was stronger than you've got to change. That comes. But the acceptance and the love, the message is stronger than the latter. Religion demands the change before the acceptance is given. And I guarantee you, a prostitute or someone that is given to that, when I've witnessed to him, I don't know when, but if I did, maybe I haven't, I don't know it. They're very sensitive. Do you love me the way I am? Can you love me the way I am? You got to change. They know that. They need prayer. They need love. The father, when he met the son, his love overrode anything. The elder brother? It's a good thing the elder brother didn't. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, and I repeat, when he went back and he said, follow me. There was such a love and such a come. And here Jesus One time he was in a home and a woman that was a sinner. It's amazing that she could feel comfortable enough to come knowing his preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. She knew what he taught and preached. But there was such a love that he had of acceptance that she could feel comfortable kneeling behind him weeping. And if you say, well, I love him, may we search our hearts and make sure that we do. Because if we try to show it outwardly but don't mean it inwardly, they'll know. Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Isn't it amazing? He let Judas, come on, Judas. Come have communion, Judas. Wow. Acceptance. Love. I repeat, we criticize what we don't understand, and sometimes we're not willing to admit things we don't understand. Let me wrap this up. I repeat, Solomon, he ignored that as though he understood. Solomon, how could you? He's the one that had the wisdom of God. I believe Solomon understood. Pastor, you're making room for sin. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I'm making room for is such a love for people. To love people. It's amazing we can love our own family members or something, but if it's somebody else, I'm going to go, Jesus loves everybody. That's why he say, follow me. Make room for truth when you realize you're wrong. Make room for, I blew it. Somewhere, Barnabas and Paul made up. Somebody had to change. They got so mad at each other because they thought each other was wrong. And there was strong dissension. I don't think Jesus would have done that. Even the best among us. They made up. They made room. God help us to make room for people we've disagreed with. Nicodemus repented, but Jesus sure loved him at the first. Last of all, make room for the man of God. In Luke 4, and I preached this some months back, Jesus was preaching, they liked it until he said something they got irritated with. And they said, oh, we almost got carried away. This is a bastard. This is the son of Joseph. Now, whether it was in their heart and they meant that, maybe speculation on my part, but it is not speculation that Jesus, who John says knew man, knew what was in man, Jesus, after they heard him gladly, now he came and he had words that really put them in their place because he knew they were rejecting him and not receiving him as they should. And he said, you won't have any miracles. You receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. But if there's rejection and something there that causes you not to receive the man of God as he should be received, you'll shut down the gifting that he's not in control of because God's in control of it. And Jesus even told him, you won't have too many miracles. And last of all, oh, let's make room for the Holy Spirit. Let's make room for forgiveness. Let's make room for loving people. Would you stand? God not only let me demonstrate it outwardly, but God let me love them inwardly. Remember Peter, who he told him to rise and eat? He said, no, it was referring to the Gentiles. He may have been sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And God told him three times, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean. Receive them. Love them. And Peter said, wow, I've been wrong. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And so let's hear the message of Jesus again. Follow me. Wow. He didn't even drill them. He said, well, he knew them. Yeah, and some of them weren't even right. But he still loved them in spite of what was wrong with them. How many know he works on all of us? And when we started serving him, we were not perfect. How many know you're perfect now? None of us. He's still working on me. He's still maturing me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh God, for me, I learned a lesson, and Lord, I'm still learning. And how you love us, Lord. Oh, how you love us. How our sins are forgiven. And may we not compliment it or complicate it. But whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I know you do the changing, and Lord, that doesn't mean one bit we're to be light on sin in no way, but oh God, give us the wisdom that our love and our acceptance overrides the flaws, and we wait for you to work. We'll need wisdom, Lord. I'm not saying this is easy in black and white. Oh God, we need wisdom, but oh God, how we need wisdom like Solomon had. How we need you to change our hearts and to help us to love people, to love everybody, to accept and yet have wisdom at the same time. How many want the Lord to continue to work on your life? Amen. Let's find a place to pray, shall we? And could we sing Just As I Am? Because it just shouldn't be at salvation. It should be throughout our whole walk with God. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst that